Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder, you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it will take you to all of the resources I mentioned. And this month of September, I have a few special bonus items for anyone who grabs a copy of my new book, EdTech Essentials. Already have your copy? Send me a message on Instagram or Twitter at Class Tech Tips, or go straight to classtechtips.com/bookbonus to request your bonus items. Today's episode is sponsored by Kokomo 24/7, a leader provider in health and safety management solutions. With the company's extensive history in assisting K-12 schools, colleges, and universities, and other educational systems, Kokomo 24/7 Safety Cloud can help to swiftly implement proven health and safety management measures during the pandemic, as well as known concerns in educational settings, such as accident and bullying, mental health, and Title IX compliance requirements. Visit Kokomo 24/7 to learn more about Kokomo 24/7 solutions. This week's podcast is titled, How to Use Tech Tools to Stay Connected with Families, with Amber Peterson. I have known Amber for many years, and we've worked together at LitWorld, a fantastic nonprofit organization where I did part of my doctoral research for my dissertation, and at Dewey, a resource, a platform for families full of great information. Today, we'll talk about how to use technology to stay connected with families, and I'm excited to share this conversation with you. It's full of tips and strategies to try out throughout the entire school year. Let's dive in. Welcome, Amber, to the podcast. I am so excited to have you on to chat today about all things using technology tools to stay connected with families. And let's jump right in. Can you share a little bit about your role in education and what does your day-to-day look like?
Absolutely. So I am currently the Director of Program Innovation for LitWorld. LitWorld is a nonprofit focused on social emotional literacy programming that we deliver in partnership with community-based organizations all over the world. So my day-to-day consists of everything from auditing or creating or advising our curriculum products to working directly with our on-the-ground partners to support implementation and innovation around programs, to presenting on best practices and contributing to more, you know, academic conversations when it comes to the importance of storytelling and social emotional development, and when it comes to the literacy. I am also a co-founder and the podcast content lead at Dewey. And Dewey is a learning platform for parents and caregivers focused on providing resources and strategies to help families learn, bond, and thrive. So in that role, I get to speak to and learn from amazing people, yourself included, and all types of caregiver and caregiver adjacent roles about best practices around supporting young people and empowering and protecting our own mental spaces and sense of well-being.
Well, it's just been so wonderful working with you for the past, I don't know, I'm afraid to count how many years.
Right? many.
Right, many years with both the LitWorld and of course the Dewey connection. And so, you know, mentioning LitWorld, which I love, right? I know LitWorld uses the 7 strengths model in a lot of its programming. And, you know, one of those 7 strengths is this idea of belonging. And so when we think about staying connected with families, right, this idea of making sure that families know that they belong, right? Creating a space where they feel that sense of belonging is so crucial. But, you know, what does that term belonging mean to you?
Belonging is definitely one of my favorite World Seven Strengths. And it's the first one that we often focus on because it's so important. And Lit World defines belonging as identifying as a valued, represented, and respected member of a larger community. And that community can, of course, be family. It could also be school. It can be work. Mm-hmm. It can be our neighborhood. It can be our city. It can be our friend group. The thing that I love about that Lit World definition is the emphasis that it puts on the importance of feeling respected and represented, and how important those two emotions in particular are to that sense of belonging. You know, we belong somewhere when we feel like our voices and our feelings matter. And when we feel some sort of agency in shaping that community and some ownership over what the experience of being part of that community is like. So when it comes to communities like our families, it may be easier to claim that sense of ownership and agency. But as in all communities, I think the clearer and the easier those pathways for community members are for expressing their voices and their feelings, the more accessible that sense of belonging to that community becomes.
Well, I love that, you know, that definition that Lit World uses that you just, you know, helped unpack for us, because it's so much more than just having our name on a list, right? Or saying I'm a member and pointing, right? To say like, you can tell this way, right? But it really is about that feeling, right? That someone has that respect, that they know that their voice is being heard, that they're being listened to. And you know, if we're talking today about this idea of belonging, of course, but also staying connected when we are, or making sure families know, right, that they're a part of a community. And, you know, growing up, you might have had a similar experience as a student, you know, and I know it was true in my first year's teaching too, right? I would have said that staying connected with families means I've stashed that flyer in a folder and I hope that someone looked at it, right? Whether as a student, that was my mom checking in on things after school, after her own busy day as a teacher, right? Or as a teacher myself, right? Hoping that someone took a look at that thing I made sure we all put in our folders. But, you know, now when we talk about staying connected, it is an entirely different ball game, right? When thinking of ways families get information and all of that. So, you know, when we think about this idea of staying connected, when technology is part of the equation, you know, what does that really mean?
So I have a similar experience as you in thinking about, you know, connecting with families in those first years. And it really did feel so much harder in a lot of ways than I think it does now because of technology and the fact that technology does unlock so many different options for connecting with families for us, especially as we are, especially thinking about this last few years and how accustomed we all have become to using technology to just communicate in general. And so I think a big part of figuring out how to communicate with families is figuring out the type of community with those families that you're trying to create. So again, thinking back to those early days in the classroom for me, I think a lot of the communication and the connection with families that I requested was very reactionary. So this thing happened in the classroom, please respond. Or right. Here's this thing that I'm looking for from you. Please give it to me in some way or another. And you know, I didn't provide, I think, a very clear pathway for parents, for students, and, you know, or for families to really express their voices and feelings in that process. There was no invitation for them to become more deeply involved in the community that I was trying to create. So in the olden days, as you mentioned, creating that invitation might have looked like, you know, a newsletter that went home once a month talking about what was happening in the classroom. Today, it might look like a classroom blog that you have. And because we have tools like Google Classroom and Google Suite, it could be a blog that you create with your students or with your parents. And that accessibility is something that wasn't always there. That invitation could also come in the form of, you know, quick and easy surveys that parents can respond to via text, where, you know, you can get information from them about like the percentage of students who are struggling with a particular homework problem or concept, or the type of support you might have if you wanted to host some sort of family clinic or workshop in addressing a problem or some specific content together. So in the olden days, I think, you know, getting parents, getting classroom communities to come together actually meant getting families to physically come into a space. And, you know, while that's always nice, I think today there's so many more options for that. You can gather families via Zoom. You can, you know, provide much more accessible ways for working parents who have lots of other responsibilities, lots of other things going on to connect with you and with other members of your classroom community as well. So technology, I think, provides lots of options for, you know, creating those pathways that we were talking about earlier for people to share their their voices and share their feelings. And the more that they can do that, I think the more that they feel like they belong to your classroom.
So that's so much, you know, wonderful thing, so many wonderful things there. I was jotting down as you were talking, Amber, about this idea of really going beyond the reactive nature of communication. Like, I need this from you. The field trip is tomorrow. Make sure you do this thing, right? Or responding to a problem or issue or, right? So really just inviting that, those folks that you are working with, building that community so that everyone knows that they don't have to wait for someone else in the school to start the conversation, that they can really be part of that in a way that might feel different than perhaps when they were, you know, a student themselves, or when their older children were working through different, you know, different schoolings. And so, you know, you mentioned some really important things to consider around technology, whether it is using a video conferencing tool like Zoom to make sure everyone can participate, or creating a class blog and having students be part of the storytelling for a classroom. Are there some other ed tech tools for family communication, family engagement that you'd recommend listeners to take a look at?
Yeah, so I love this question because I think there's so much out there. And I'll say that my own, in the work that I do, accessibility is always a huge concern. And so for that reason, I think that sometimes the answers are a little bit closer to our own comfort spaces than we think. So a lot of the technology recommendations that I have are really centered on kind of maximizing the way that we're using the tools that everybody in our community is already using. So, you know, so many people have access to Google and to Gmail and to the Google Suite tools, and you're able to meet people where they are with that. You know, there's so many different amazing tools in classrooms, Google Classrooms for creating protected communities, and so many tools like forums that allow you to survey and talk to parents in very targeted and clean ways. You know, texting is another great way to communicate with parents. And so SMS or group chat platforms like Remind or ClassParrot or ClassPager allow you to meet with parents and families, meet them where they are. So they don't have to download anything new or learn how to interact with a new type of platform, but you are still creating that community. And again, it's with tools that already exist that everyone has access to already.
Yeah. And just that maximizing, right? Maximizing or optimizing or all the izing, right? Words you could throw in there, right? The tools that families are already using, I think, is really crucial, right? There's a huge step for onboarding anyone into something new. But if we know where people are, or we can find something that looks like a space that they're comfortable with, it's going to really be, you know, a game changer. And, you know, besides some of those event reminders or schedule updates or things that we might naturally have on our list for reaching out to families with, what other type of messaging is important to share with families? Would you suggest, you know, sharing specific resources with families?
Yeah, so, you know, I think one of the things that you had said earlier about kind of just like the types of communication that we have, I think there is a need for us just as a community to reshape the relationship that parents have with the classroom. And so that idea that communication's not going to be all reactionary is something that I think everyone has to get used to in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like that's the expectation that a lot of parents have, and that's the expectation that that a lot of teachers have going into this relationship. So I do think that some of the things, one of the things I mentioned before was, you know, a classroom newsletter, a blog that provides some sort of window or invitation to your life in the classroom. So it can include those things like event updates or, you know, homework announcements, but it can also be a space where you talk about the content of your study, where you provide resources for parents to get background on those conversations they might have with their kids about the things that you're studying, activities that they can do with each other connected to the work that you're doing in the classroom, and invitations for them to share the ways that they're extending the classroom learning that you're doing in school at home. It's also a space where you can share the stories of the success. I think a lot of times when parents get information from school, there's expectation that if somebody's contacting me, it's because something bad. But thinking about all the ways that you can talk about those wonderful things that are happening in your classroom and posing those challenges in real time so that it's not, this is something that happened, but here's a challenge that we're facing in the classroom. And here's a clear way that I'm asking you as parents to be part of this. You know, it takes a village, right? We're all part of that same village and educating and providing spaces for these young people to grow.
I love that idea of having an action item right alongside any communication that you might share. And I almost feel like, and I don't know that there's a magic, you know, math number to this, but like just having a ratio in mind, right? Like, what does that ratio look like of saying, I am sharing things that are just event updates and reminders, and now I'm sharing, right, this amount of success stories, celebrations, things that we just want to give attention to. And you know, I don't know, you know, about you and what kind of newsletters fill up your inbox, right? But there's ones that I get every week from people, and I'm clicking on them sometimes not for the main reason, right, of the newsletter, right? Like I'm not there. I'm there, yeah, sort of for the content, but I also know that every week they share a funny quote or that they always have a meme of the week, right, or something that's going to get me to just scroll down to that section, but probably pick up some other gems along the way. And as we, you know, are thinking about all these pieces, right, we know that, you know, of course, it's important to stay connected with families throughout the school year. And the beginning of the school year is often a time where this is more front of mind. We might build in routines or we might establish something. But if someone is listening into this episode later in the year, or, you know, they're a few weeks into the school year, or maybe it's during the winter time, is there something that they can do? Is there a, you know, a quick action they can take to reconnect with families?
Yes. You know, I think it's never too late to send that update, to put together that newsletter, that blog that says, here's what's going on in the classrooms. Here are the clear ways that I'm asking for your input, that I'm asking for your perspective. I think, you know, the more we can kind of think about the things that we're doing in the classroom, these the challenges that we have, all of these things as opportunities to kind of crowdsource solutions. So especially as you get into the year, you are starting to figure out those things where, you know, sometimes the perspective of the families that you have, perspectives of the people who spend all day with the kids that you are teaching, you know, can really help to shape what's happening for the rest of the year. So I think that there's never a time that it's too late to reach out with that invitation to families to be involved and to be engaged. And sometimes it can start small. So I mentioned some of those text messaging and SMS platforms, a text that simply says, hey, here I am. This is what's going on. Here's an invitation to a conversation, to a workshop, to whatever. I think, again, it's that invitation is never not useful.
Right. No, and I
completely double negative there.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And I think all the reasons you said, just right, don't doubt it, right? Send that update, right? Recommit to some level of consistency with that communication. I don't think there's ever a bad time to jump in, especially with, you know, school years that have a lot of things, right, going on. And so, you know, as we finish up today, Amber, I'd love for you to tell us more about your work, where listeners can connect with you. I'm going to make sure to put some links in the show notes. So wherever anyone's listening to this in the description, they'll be able to find that. But yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about your work and the best way for folks to stay connected?
Yeah. So, you know, definitely checking out litworld.org. There's so much wonderful work that's being done by the organization and so many different ways that people can get involved. So check out litworld.org. World Read Aloud Day is February 2nd of 2022, which is super excited. Yeah. 2222.
Oh no. Oh my gosh. That is real. I needed you to tell me that because I did not put that together automatically. That is really fun. Oh, fun.
Yes. Yes. We're still not sure how we're maximizing that yet. Optimizing that. We're going to figure it out. But definitely check out the website. Also, don't forget to go to DeweyCommunity.com to learn more about the Dewey platform and to listen to some of the amazing conversations that we've had, including the one that we had with yours truly.
Oh, so much fun, right? That was so much fun chatting with you for that one. And I'm just so excited, of course, about all the work that Dewey and Lit World are doing. And now my wheels are spinning about World Read Aloud Day. So that is just so fun. Well, Amber, I really appreciate you taking time to talk about how to use tech tools to stay connected with families. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. This is so much fun.
It was so much fun talking to Amber about this important topic. And if you want more information around Lit World's work, the idea of belonging, I'll make sure to include some links in the show notes from today's episode. But first, let's finish up, like we always do, with some tips for making this EdTech easy. First, create a sense of belonging. Next, invite families into the community. Then go beyond reactive conversations. And finally, maximize tools families already use. Remember, you can find the show notes for today's episode. This is episode number 130. You can find all of the resources and the tools that we talked about today over on my website, classtechtips.com/podcast. Just look for episode number 130, and you can find a direct link that will take you out to all of that, including info on Lit World and Dewey and how to connect with Amber by tapping on the description wherever you're listening to this episode. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Kokomo 24/7. This health and safety cloud platform instantly gives power not only to manage health and safety concerns, but also mitigate and be compliant, all not only for students, but also for faculty and staff as well. You can ask for a no-string-attached 15-minute demo at kokomo247.com, and you'll see how much they are passionate about school safety and how they have been helping many, from small districts and colleges to some of the largest school districts and universities, like second largest school district in the U.S., and Big Ten colleges. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically, so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech or teaching in their podcast app. And this month of September, I have a few special bonus items for anyone who grabs a copy of my new book, EdTech Essentials. Already have your copy? Send me a message on Instagram or Twitter. At Class Tech Tips is where you'll find me, or go straight to classtechtips.com/bookbonus to request your bonus items. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.